Hi everyone, welcome to a special edition of the Padre Cast here with Fred as we talk about the big news so far this week. The Madden 12 cover is going to be determined via vote, and they've done it March Madness style with the tournament, 32 participants, and they've broken it down by seeding. The seeding actually is kind of irrelevant in all of this. If you notice when looking at the brackets, they're all divisional rivals. Guys like Julius Peppers, who got an 8 seed, facing off against Adrian Peterson, who has a 9 seed. It's not that they're the Pack guys. Those are probably two of the favorites, but instead they couldn't position them in a different way. You know, you couldn't make one of those guys a 1 and the other 16. That would have looked dumb. So they've just kind of done it by division, matched them up, and then just kind of gave corresponding seeds based on that. But I don't think necessarily the top seeds are the favorites when looking at these. So. With Fred and I, we're just gonna talk kind of about our expectations for each one of these matchups, and then where we think it's gonna go, who we'd like to win, and all that. The first off, it's gonna be Aaron Rodgers for the Packers and Ndamukong Suh for the Lions, and so you have here, you know, these are two guys that probably would get recognition even not in a bracket. Suh is, you know, he had a breakout rookie season. Rookie Defensive Player of the Year, made a big impact for the Lions in improving them from the bottom dwellers they've been for years into a competitive team. For a defensive tackle, pretty amazing. He had 10 sacks, also had an interception, forced fumble, and returned one of them for a touchdown. So he has the numbers too, especially from defensive tackle, which is traditionally not someone who would get the cover. But he's facing Aaron Rodgers, who's probably the hottest player right now, and if anybody would have said, you know, to get the Madden 12 cover, it would have been Aaron Rodgers. People would have assumed that, you know, Super Bowl winner, MVP of the Super Bowl, 28 touchdowns to just 11 interceptions, and he's a personable guy, a marketable guy. And you may disagree, Fred, because you're a Bears fan, but I think most people like Aaron Rodgers. You may disagree. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't really not like the guy, other than him being a Packer. I think he's a pretty, like you said, pretty personable guy. He's funny. You know, I know that I would like him over a personality like him over Jay Cutler, you know, on the Bears. But I mean, in the end, I don't care. It's just about winning. But no, I think Rodgers is a good choice. And to be honest, considering the Madden curse, I really wouldn't mind seeing Aaron Rodgers on the cover.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a lot of people making comments like that. They're going to vote for, you know, their rival teams, you know, the teams they're not fans of, hoping that the curse will, you know, afflict those players instead. I think we agree, you know, Rodgers is going to advance, right? I don't see any way Sue upsets him here. They're just, you know, other than Lions fans and people who respect you know, a defensive player putting up numbers and that kind of impact, you know, there isn't that you know, force out there that could really push him over the top, especially against the Packers fan base.
Yeah, and they just come off a Super Bowl win. You know, it's gonna be hard for Sue to win.
Yeah, so Rodgers will probably, in all likelihood, will advance there, and I don't think that would surprise anybody. So the winner of that one, which we believe to be Rodgers, will end up facing off against, and this is kind of an interesting matchup because you have a rookie quarterback in Sam Bradford for the Rams, who had a great season by rookie standards, but by all other standards, it was mediocre. You know, he won Rookie of the Year, helped the Rams get up to 6 wins after, you know, being down in the 2 range for years and drafting number one. 18 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. Like I said, the numbers really don't support a Madden cover, but he meant a lot to the team. He also kind of faltered late in the season. In the last 5 games, he had only one touchdown to 6 interceptions. And then you have him facing Larry Fitzgerald of the Cardinals. Here's a guy who he caught 90 passes, caught 6 touchdowns from he had no quarterback. So it makes those numbers more impressive. But also he was on the cover of Madden 10, and I'm not sure how much I personally want to see a guy who's already been on the cover be on it again. But I look at this matchup, and I think it's probably going to Fitzgerald. He's just a more popular, the more explosive player. What do you see in this 8-9 matchup?
Yeah, I think that, like what you said, it's just Larry Fitzgerald, arguably one of the top wide receivers in the NFL. I think the only thing that he's really got going against him is, like you said, that he's already been on the cover once, And a lot of people just really seemed to buy into the Sam Bradford hype. You know, I know that a lot almost seemed like they were talking him up better than what he was, you know, because the Rams had been so bad for so long. And then he came in and sort of, you know, made them improve. So I would still go with Larry Fitzgerald. If it was my vote, I would probably pick Larry Fitzgerald. I don't know. I'm just, I don't really
Yeah,
care about this matchup, to be honest.
that's kind of a throwaway matchup, because neither of them are going to get past Aaron Rodgers in the next round. And yeah, Bradford, yeah, what he had was a great season for a rookie. Like I was saying earlier, you know, you look at guys like Peyton Manning, who, or really most rookie quarterbacks. It hasn't been till recently where you saw guys, you know, like Matt Ryan, who came in and could perform well as a rookie. And so he came in and did well, which is exceptional for a rookie, but by Madden cover standards, he's just not there yet. So I'd be throwing my vote to Fitzgerald also. And I think that's probably the way it's going to go. The next matchup is a 5-12, and we were talked about this one because this is a pretty irrelevant matchup here. Two guys who you never would have considered to kind of be in the running for a Madden cover, but they had to take somebody from the Giants and they had to take somebody from the Redskins. And in this case, the Giants, Hakeem Nicks, good numbers, 79 catches, over 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, started only 13 games. But you know, he's good numbers, but you know, again, not Madden cover numbers. You know, there's many wide receivers who put up comparable numbers to that. Then you have Brian Arakpo, who you know, his second season in the league. He's a nice force on defense, 8.5 sacks this year, coming off 11 in his rookie season. But again, outside of the fan bases of these two teams, I don't see the appeal to either one of these guys. You have any thoughts on the 5-12 matchup?
They're not really. These next two, this 5-12 and the 4-13, I really couldn't care less about. So yeah, no, I wouldn't care. I think if I had to vote, I would probably just vote Arachno, because I don't know, I just don't really like the Giants.
And that's what it's going to end up being, right? A lot of these matchups are, you know, who do you hate the least, or who do you want to vote against? And so, you know, you go to the NFC East, and we have, you know, two NFC East matchups here. We have the Giants versus the Redskins, and you know how NFC East fan bases
Yeah,
are.
if it was up to me, I wouldn't vote for either one of them, you know?
So I don't know. You know, this is probably one of the toughest to call. I'm going to say Arakpo advances, but it could go either way. I think this is probably going to be one of the closest in there. Do you have your pick here?
Yeah, I'll go with the Rock Bro too.
Okay, so we're on the same wavelength so far. And so we're going to move into that 4 versus 13 matchup, which you just referenced. Again, two guys you would never expect. Although I think Stevie Johnson, as the 13 seed, he's not totally out of the Madden picture. Though he plays for the Bills, and you know, when you're the Bills and you're one of the worst teams in the league, you're not going to get the guy on the cover. So Stevie Johnson, he had a nice season, 82 catches, 10 touchdowns. And again, this is a guy that's kind of a fun guy marketing wise. He goes on, does a lot of interviews. He's also well known for that dropped touchdown that would have won the game, that he ended up blaming God for dropping. So that, you know, he had, you know, people know about him now, at least at the very least, because of that, people know who he is. And he faces any who, you know, who would have ever guessed a guy that got cut in training camp, or preseason, wherever it was in there, and latched on with a different team, with the Patriots. Whoever thought a guy coming from that background would be up for the Madden cover? So here he is. Not big stats. I mean, 547 yards rushing, 5 TDs, 34 receptions, though. He came in and started producing, especially late in the year, and I think he's more of a story than he is, obviously, with the statistics. Woodhead is, you know, again, he's a guy that, you know, Patriot fans can rub in the Jets fans' faces for having, you know, found the diamond in the rough or whatever. So here, I think Stevie Johnson's going to pull this one out, because you'll have Jets fans and probably Dolphins fans. They don't want Woodhead moving on. So that's where I'm going. That's where my vote is going. What do you think?
Yeah, the same thing. I don't really want to see Danny Woodhead on cover.
Denny Woodhead on the cover. That was something.
Yeah.
No, you know, not a million years. So it's interesting they threw him on there, though. as the Patriots option, because there's a lot of people who saw the matchups for this and like, why is this guy in there? Why is this guy in there? You know, this guy's in there because they don't have any good players, or the, you know, the Seahawks got the 12th man as their nominee because, you know, they don't have any good players. Well, you know, you can't tell me that the Patriots' best player is Danny Woodhead. This isn't about the best players, necessarily. So Danny Woodhead is the Patriots guy over Tom Brady, over, they have a number of options there that, you know, bigger stature, but they didn't go that direction. All right. So, what's going to be interesting is that next frame where the winner of Knicks and Arakpo face the Woodhead and Johnson. Like, they're going to be into what, the final eight?
Yeah, one that's of those ridiculous.
Guys? Whatever. Somebody's getting a bye in there. Probably Rodgers if things go that direction. Yeah, he would be getting a bye basically in the final eight. So, the way they set up the bracket, it definitely looks like Rodgers has a pretty clear path. All right. So now the bottom of that frame, we've got. This is a guy who's been a sleeper for the Madden cover for years, and that's Maurice Jones-Drew. Number one, he plays for the Jaguars right close to the Tiburon studio, so he's real accessible to the Madden team. Former Madden Bowl winner, he's a Madden player, which is something they like to, you know, they like these guys out there talking about when they're promoting the game. 1,300 yards, only five touchdowns. He was hampered by knee injuries most of the year. Missed the last two games due to that. And those were critical games when the Jaguars could have won their way into the playoffs but didn't. So he's kind of going to be hurt, I think, in his stock because of that. He faces off against Dwight Freeney, a guy who's, I think everybody would admit, is past his prime. 10 sacks on the year still. He's still, you know, a tough guy for people to block, but he's not the dominant guy that he used to be in the past. And so there's another example, you know, Peyton Manning's not on the list, but instead it's Dwight Freeney. These are just guys that EA could get for the cover if they win. So who you like in this matchup? I personally think it's Maurice Jones-Drew is going to win this one easily. Do you feel the same way on that?
I don't know. I think he probably will win. If I had to vote, though, I wouldn't vote for him. I'd vote for Freeney. I don't know. He really rubbed me the wrong way at the end of the year with all that tweeting business and then retracting his statement. I mean, he just looked like a complete idiot. You know what I mean? Like, he said, well, I'm not apologizing for it. And then he says, well, you know, I made a mistake. I think I should apologize for it. He just rubbed me the wrong way with that whole thing, contradicting himself. And then, to top it all off, like you said, he missed the final two games of the season with, like, a meniscus tear or something, you know. And to me, it's just like, you know, this is a guy who is claiming that he'd be out there playing. Well, you know, I know that he played most of the year with a knee injury, but when they really needed him, you know, he didn't. So, no, if it was up to me and I had my vote, I would vote for Dwight Freeney just because – you know, I really never had a problem with Maurice Jones-Drew until the last month of the season. There you go.
There's another fan base perspective on a guy who, you know, it's going to hurt him because he made, you know, comments about your guy or your team.
Yeah.
And you're voting more against him than you would be for Dwight Freeney. Right. But so it's interesting to see how those things develop here, rather than just, okay, he's the better player, I'm going to vote for him. We move down, and this is another one. This is kind of a controversial one, where you have as the number 11 seed Tim Tebow, a backup quarterback in the running for the Madden cover. And, you know, he's got the popularity, obviously. His jersey is, I believe it's the number one selling jersey in the NFL. He started three games at the end of last season, showed some flashes, but also showed, you know, his issues. And again, he goes into the season probably as the backup, or at least that's, you know, Kyle Orton is being pegged as the starter by the new coach there. So he's facing Jamaal Charles, who's a guy that isn't, you know, as recognizable, obviously, as Tebow. Very exciting player, though. 6.4 yards a carry, led the league. Also caught 45 passes. Electric guy. But at the same time, he splits carries with Thomas Jones. Thomas Jones took a lot of the touchdowns last year. So I like Jamaal Charles here. I don't think he's going to be able to beat Tim Tebow, though. How do you see this?
Yeah, I see the same thing. I think Tebow's going to win just because of his popularity. But if it was my vote, I'd vote for Charles. I actually had him on my fantasy league last year, and the guy was just amazing, especially in the second half of the year when he started to get more of the carries. I think, you know, they realize that, hey, this guy's better than Thomas Jones.
I used to I I knew several guys who had Jamal Charles in their fantasy leagues, and so that's where he got his exposure to the fantasy
Yeah.
leagues, which is interesting,
Yeah.
particularly. But then, yeah, Thomas Jones would come in and steal his touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I always heard
Yeah,
Brighton.
I mean, I think he's been one of those running backs that kind of goes unnoticed, and probably because he has split carries, with Thomas Jones, and even the year before, I think he didn't start until like the last 8 games of the season. But
Yeah, and he exploded those games too.
so he's one of the top running backs in the league, but I think Tebow gets it just 'cause he's so damn popular, especially if you're saying that his jersey is the top selling jersey, So
Yeah.
yeah, I see him winning it.
Yeah. Unless Jamal Charles gets the support from everybody who doesn't want
Yeah.
Tebow to go, right? So you never know. I don't think Charles, though, probably has that support yet. If Tebow advances to like the Final Four or something, that's, I think, where you'll see people really band up and try to knock
Yeah.
him out. I like this next matchup because really this is one of the least obvious of the whole tournament, and that's number 7 Ray Rice of the Ravens versus number 10 Peyton Hillis of the Browns. Ray Rice, dual threat guy, 1,220 yards rushing, 63%. Didn't have all that great a year though. He only had a few games where he got over 100 yards. The Ravens, for some reason, weren't looking to him all that much. They were giving Willis Mahee even better. And he didn't do all that much in the playoffs either. But he's a very consistent guy. And then you have Peyton Hillis, who traded for Brady Quinn. It's a good story for the Browns fans at least. 1,200 yards. He had 11 touchdowns. Again, exciting guy. He had several highlight level plays. The question is, the Browns have a very strong fan base, but outside of Cleveland, I think it's tough to kind of pull votes for their guy. I'm gonna say this is gonna be a close one, and I'm gonna pick Peyton Hillis actually to pull off a mild upset here. And that's where my vote is going. What do you think?
Yeah, this is Ray Rice. That's another guy I had in fantasy, and like you said, he almost like single-handedly killed my season because he just didn't. I ended up picking him number one in my, well, we
Oof.
did an auction draft, so it wasn't
Yeah.
like so much as number one, but he was my first player that I got, and he just killed me. But Peyton Hillis, man, he after that trade, he really came on. I think they're calling him White Rhino or something. So, and I want to just clarify, you said that outside of Cleveland, the Cleveland fan base. Well, if we ever had Master Saladus or Salidus on the show, he would tell us that Cleveland has the largest organized fan base in the world or something like that. So,
Oh man, I'd like to see that documented. I totally respect their fan base. I mean, I've always respected the fan bases that turn out even when their teams are crappy. And Cleveland supports their team every year, so I respect that. I'm just not sure I see where they're getting support outside of Cleveland. Maybe it's people who like maybe LeBron James who moved away because they didn't want to live there. So there's it's like everybody says LA shouldn't have a team because it's a city of transplants, and kind of Miami's a city of transplants because it's where people move to live away from their original home. Maybe that's Cleveland's deal. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if it's up to me, I give my vote to Ray Rice just 'cause I don't like the city of Cleveland. So
Okay, there you go.
so
There
Ray
you
Rice for me.
go. Again, very negative, but I accept that.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the final matchup in that side of the bracket is this is a gimme of all gimmies. It's Matt Ryan. Had a great season, Pro Bowler, 28 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, led the Falcons to a number one seed. Sputtered in the playoffs, obviously. They lost in the first game after their bye to the Packers. But again, young guy, very marketable guy, and he put up great stats and led his team to a very good season versus an offensive tackle from the worst team in the NFL. Jordan Rose, hey, you know what? Good tackle. He's a Pro Bowler. Started all 16 games, but I don't see how anyone can make an argument for Jordan Gross.
Yeah, there's nothing
Would you like
sexy
to?
about that pick, It's just
No.
offensive line, like you said, offensive lineman on the worst team in the NFL. Yeah, I think it's safe to say Matt Ryan's gonna win this one.
Yeah, hey, I'm not against offensive linemen. I think there are several that should get more recognition, but
Yeah.
it's tough. I mean, there were people arguing that the Panthers shouldn't have gotten a Pro Bowler regardless when you win what 2 games or whatever they won. So yeah, so that rounds out that bracket, and there's a couple matchups in there, like we said, that are going to be pretty close, but there's also pretty couple pretty obvious ones. All right, now moving over to the other side of the bracket, where Phillip Rivers is the number one seed. You know, Rivers has put up huge numbers despite having really no receivers. Vincent Jackson suspended for a good portion of the year, and then injuries to the whole wide receiver core. Yet Rivers put up 4,700 yards, led the league, 30 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. The knock on Rivers would be his attitude. He's a little off-putting. You either like the guy or you hate the guy. And so he has the number one seed here, and he faces Darren McFadden as the number 16, and I think McFadden is a little undervalued there. Former NCAA cover guy, 1,157 yards, 7 touchdowns, 47 catches also. He does split carries some with Michael Bush, but when healthy, he's shown the ability to kind of break out for series of games. He hasn't done it for a whole season necessarily, but over stretches of games, he's had some huge performances. I think it's just the injury knock on him, and so I don't know if he's going to have the support. The Raiders fan base, much stronger than the Chargers fan base, so there's at least that to look for there. And I'm going to go ahead and call an upset here and say McFadden topples Rivers. Where do you see this one headed?
Yeah, you know, Phillip Rivers, you kind of mentioned it. He's one of those guys that you either love or you hate, and he just rubs me the wrong way. So for me, he would not get my vote. I'd vote for McFadden. That's not to take anything away from Rivers, the player. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I just don't really like him. So,
yeah, and it's probably the reason why he hasn't been on the cover of Madden or wouldn't have just been the sole choice of EA this year. It's because people don't like the guy, and so not necessarily he's not the best marketing decision to go with him. But he definitely has the numbers to support it. But yeah, I think McFadden could pull the upset here just because of that. A lot of Raiders fans are going to vote for McFadden, but then there's also going to be a lot of people who vote against Rivers. So we'll have to see where that goes. Winner of that, it'll be interesting to see who they face, because these next two guys are going in would probably be considered favorites to come away with the win. And they face each other in the first round, and that's Julius Peppers in the 8th seed versus Adrian Peterson in the 9th seed. And for Peppers, impactful year with the Bears. He definitely caused havoc for other teams. Even though he only put up 8 sacks, he definitely had more of an effect than just those numbers. Where I would see an issue is he didn't record a sack in the playoffs. Didn't really make a big splash in the playoffs, and that's where a lot of people remember last the most. So then Adrian Peterson comes from a team that had a terrible year, a very disappointing year. And his numbers are good, 1,298, 12 touchdowns, but he's also a guy who, you know, he could have been the cover athlete the last couple of years, and EA passed him over for whatever reason. So is this really his time now? Now, you're a Bears fan, so obviously I think we know which direction you're going to go there. Mm-hmm. But how do you see this matchup playing out?
You know, I like you had mentioned, Peterson's one of those guys that probably should have been on the cover already. You know, from his previous seasons, which were better than the season he had last year. For me, as a Bears fan, I have no choice but to really vote for Peppers. You know, I watched every Bears game. He might not have had the sack numbers, but it's hard to deny the impact he had on that defense. So for me, it's Peppers, but it really wouldn't surprise me at all to see Peterson win. I think he might have more fans than Julius Peppers.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that one of these guys is going to be out so early, because I think they could be contenders, could probably both really deserve to be in the Final Four at least. But one of them is going to be gone after the first round. Moving down to the next matchup, it's the 5-12, and it's the Sanchez, Mark Sanchez. 17 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. He doesn't have the big stats, but he has the leadership qualities. He's you know, he's helped the Jets to get to the AFC Championship now 2 years in a row. He's not putting up the flashy numbers, but comes from, you know, the New York market, where he's sure to get a lot of support, and you can't really understate how important that is in this. He's also someone who has looked like a potential Madden cover guy now for 2 years, a future. I don't think he's necessarily ready for that this year, but, you know, 3 or 4 years down the line, who knows? He looks like someone who would fit the mold. And he faces the Dolphins representative, Jake Long. And again, offensive line is tough to really argue for, even though it's one of the most important positions on the field, especially the left tackle like Jake Long, who started all 16 games. But there's just not, there's nothing exciting about putting an offensive lineman through, and I think they're at a huge disadvantage, obviously, here. And with Jake Long facing Mark Sanchez, the only hope for Jake Long would be everybody who doesn't like Sanchez and everybody who doesn't like New York to vote against him and go for Long. And I don't see that necessarily happening here, at least this early.
Yeah, the having an offensive lineman go up against a quarterback, I think. I mean, the majority of the time, if the quarterback's respectable, he's going to win. And then not only that, but it's the Dolphins. I don't know how big of a fan base they have, especially compared to the Jets. I'd almost be inclined to vote against Sanchez if the Dolphins had someone who's more appealing. Like, even if it was like a Ricky Williams, something like that.
Yeah. But problem is the both of their running backs are free agents. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And then I guess you could say Brandon Marshall, but I'm not sure anybody likes.
Yeah,
Sanchez
I'd vote for Mark Sanchez over him. So yeah, I guess they're stuck with Jake Long. I don't see him winning. It's a New York quarterback, and most of the time I think he's going to win. So.
Yeah, and the winner of that is going to face, and if it's Sanchez, it's going to make for a real intriguing matchup either way. But the winner of that will face the 4-13 winner. And that's Drew Brees versus Josh Freeman. And Drew Brees, cover of Madden 11, so it would make him the second, first guy to ever not only be on 2 years, but two straight years. 33 touchdowns, so he still put up the numbers. But he also had 22 interceptions, which was second in the league behind just Eli Manning. And then you have Josh Freeman. In his second season, 25 touchdowns to only 6 interceptions in comparison. Much more impressive in terms of numbers, but he actually didn't even make the Pro Bowl, and the Bucks just missed out on the playoffs. And then a factor here, I think, is how sick are people of the Saints? How sick are they of who dat and all that stuff? Because after the Seahawks beat the Saints in the playoffs, I got numerous messages and saw all over different message boards about people thanking the Seahawks for, ending the who dat crap for the rest of the year. Will Brees have the support that he had last year, where he was kind of the obvious guy for the cover? And I'm actually not sure he's going to have that support. I think he'll probably advance past Josh Freeman. But once you get past there, I'm not sure if he's really gonna be the top guy like he was seen as last year. What do you think in this matchup here? I think it's an interesting one, but I think it's kind of sad too that Freeman is probably gonna go out early.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because like you said, Freeman's got the numbers ahead of Brees. Brees would get my vote strictly because he's a Purdue alum like myself, so he's gonna get my vote. But I am I was tired of this whole Katrina. That's the reason why the Saints are so important to that city, because they have this special bond with them. Like, the media played that angle so much that I really grew tired of it. And it's hard for me to see a two-time, back-to-back especially, cover boy, but I think Brees is a little bit more appealing than Freeman. I mean, you look at even him making the Pro Bowl this past season. Did he get on it just on name? Because you look at his numbers, they really weren't that impressive compared to even Freeman, Didn't Rodgers not make the Pro Bowl?
Rodgers didn't make the Pro Bowl.
So, you know what I mean?
That's kind of interesting that, two of the top guys didn't actually make the Pro Bowl in the NFC. There were a lot of good NFC quarterbacks. I mean, Matt Ryan made it, and I forget who the third, Vic.
Yeah.
So it was a tough crowd. But, those guys actually missed out on the Pro Bowl. It's kind of interesting. So we'll see we'll see how much backlash is there for Brees. I suspect he's got the support at least for one win. Now we'll move to the most controversial one. And I wouldn't say it's a surprise necessarily that Vic is in the regard that, EA is looking to make a splash here. They're looking to get publicity. And by putting Michael Vick in, they've already gotten that. I mean, I've already seen articles across the internet about how, you know, dog killer up for Madden cover. So it's going to be, that's going to, you know, tag along with whatever happens with Vic in this tournament. So you have Vic coming off, he won Comeback Player of the Year, even though I would dispute his eligibility for that award, considering he was coming back from being a backup quarterback. It was the previous year that he was coming back from everything. But, you know, a lot of people see him as having turned his life around. They may not like him. Maybe they respect what he's done to change his life and get out of that mess that he had been in. But, you know, he's an electrifying player on the field. So obviously, you know, he's an electrifying player in Madden, certainly he always has been. So certainly he's an option that a lot of people are going to look at either. Hey, I love Vic. I want him in. You know, he's represents Madden, or you know, I hate Vic, and I'm gonna protest this game if it's on there. So it could go either way, but I think we're gonna see a lot of support go against Vic. We'll see how much of that happens in the first round. I think eventually he could get hit with backlash later, more so than right away. But facing off against a Cowboy, I think allows that the possibility of that, and I'll call an upset right off the bat, which EA might actually even be happy if this happened. I think DeMarcus Ware can win this. Cowboys fans, strong fan base, probably the biggest nationwide fan base. Being 8.5 sacks, he's got the numbers as a defensive player to support it. Just a question of, you know, is there going to be a wave of support for Ware because he's not Vic, or is it just going to be, you know, is Vic's popularity amongst Eagles fans and people who just like exciting plays type of thing, is that going to carry him enough? What do you see as this matchup eventually turning out?
Well, I really don't like either of these teams or their fan bases, so you know, kind of, it's just like whoever wins, I really don't care. Tired of Michael Vick, and I mean DeMarcus Ware, I think, like you kind of mentioned, you know, his numbers weren't really as great last season as they have been. I don't know. He kind of the hype for him, as far as like at least on forums that I visit, it kind of died down. So he doesn't really bother me as much anymore. But yeah, you know, I think the odds are pretty stacked against Vick, especially if he does end up pulling this one out. Because he's just got, you know, a tough matchup in the next round. But for me, I'd vote for DeMarcus Ware just because I'm tired of Michael Vick, so.
Well, I hope so, and I hope that's what happens. I fear Vic moving forward, and if he were to get past that next matchup, who knows what's going to happen. But this next one, and that's you know, Vic or Ware would be facing off against either Andre Johnson, who's the 6 seed, and or Chris Johnson, who's the 11 seed. And this is, you know, this is another one of those that I feel are unfortunate that one of these guys is going to get knocked out early. Andre Johnson, often overlooked, quite possibly the best wide receiver in the NFL. He has just played on the Texans, so he doesn't get quite the same exposure, especially since they haven't made the playoffs. 86 catches, 8 touchdowns last year, all the while fighting through some injuries, and even in some games coming up big in clutch moments while fighting through those injuries. Chris Johnson, on the other hand, explosive, exciting guy to watch, especially in the open field. You know, I think he might have turned a lot of people off by predicting, you know, he was the rushing record last year, and then he ended up only with 1,364 yards. I mean, a lot of that, some of that's going to be, you know, the defense was focusing on him, and, you know, Randy Moss came in and didn't do anything, and Kenny Britt was their only option really offensively other than Chris Johnson, and he was, you know, injured for part of the year, so the Titans couldn't really move the ball, and so teams were able to key in on Chris Johnson. But I mean, I think people were keying in on him the year before too, when he had 2,000 yards. I also think the other issue with Chris Johnson, he's not wouldn't make for a great spokesperson. I don't think EA would want him as the winner here. The guy, you know, almost everyone in this list here, well-spoken people, well-regarded, and you know, easy to use the marketing arm anyway. They can do interviews well. They can, you know, promote the product well. I don't see that with Chris Johnson. So I'm gonna say Chris Johnson wins this one. But I feel bad for Andre Johnson, and I think you probably agree with that.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised whoever won this one. It's a complete toss-up. For me, I'd vote for Andre Johnson. You know, I think he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. He's been on the one of the crappiest teams since its existence. You know, and I don't know. To me, though, I think that Chris Johnson's just one of those guys that Madden players love. because he's so fast in the game. He's such a weapon that I can just see people voting for him, even if they're not Titans fans, you know? But for me, I'd vote for Andre Johnson. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't know. Part of me just says that Chris Johnson's going to end up winning it.
Yeah. So that'll definitely be – if it was Chris Johnson versus Michael Vick, that would be a wild wild matchup there. Now the most unique matchup of the bunch, and that's because the number 10 seed in this side of the bracket is the fans, the Seahawks fans, the 12th man. And as a season ticket holder, as a fan of the Seahawks, I think it's pretty cool to get recognition for the passionate fan base. Now the question is whether I've seen varied opinions on this, and some people believe, you know, why do I want to vote for Seahawks fans? You know, I'm not a fan of the Seahawks. I don't care about, you know, their fans. Why would I care about their fans? It'd be like, why would I care about another team's fans? I wouldn't necessarily want to vote for another team's fans. But then there's also the sentiment that, you know, maybe this could represent the fans of the NFL more so than just the fans of the Seahawks. Could this be with the labor dispute and the owners and the players fighting over billions of dollars and their, you know, a piece of the pie in this money situation that fans can't even grasp? It alienates them to a sense. Here's a chance to say, you know, the fans are above, you know, the players. You know, that one player, you know, it's not bigger than the fans. Here's a chance to represent that. And I don't know, you know, how that breakdown is going to be with people, how they perceive having the 12th man. But, 12th man will be facing Patrick Willis, a great defensive player for the 49ers, but another player that comes from a disappointing team, a team that a lot of people thought should win the division, the NFC West last year, and had a chance till the end of the season, despite only having a few wins to win the division, and they still couldn't do it. And that wasn't Patrick Willis's fault, but a lot of players here are going to get penalized because they're from a poor team, and that's kind of the situation he's in there. So what do you think in this matchup? Do you like the inclusion of the 12th man, and do you think they have any shot here to move forward?
I think it's a cool idea that they're on there. It's definitely different. I think that they'll maybe get past Willis, but I'm not too sure on how far they'll advance after that. I know for me, if I was voting, I'd almost vote for them in this first round, mainly because it's something different. But at the same time, I was already tired of, oh, the Seahawks fans are so good, they caused an earthquake. And I could only imagine what it's going to be like if they somehow make it on the cover, you know. But looking at the matchups, if they get past the first one, Patrick Willis, I could really see them getting past the winner of the next one, which probably is Hines Ward. But once they get into the winner of Johnson and Johnson or Vic and Ware, I don't see them getting past that, because that's when you're starting to deal with like really good name players that maybe don't even are fans of, have people voting for them who aren't even fans of their teams, but will vote for the players. So I think for the first round, the 12th man would get my vote, mainly because it's something that we've never seen before. But realistically, for them to get on the cover, I wouldn't vote for them.
Yeah, and I think the novelty could wear off in later rounds. I don't expect the 12th man to advance very far, even necessarily past the first round, but I think it'd be a pretty cool statement if they did. And then we're into the final one, and that's Hines Ward of Dancing with the Stars fame versus the representative of the Cincinnati Bengals, Carlos Dunlap, and his 9.5 sacks coming off rookie season. It's a nice season. It's just not cover worthy. And, the Bengals had to pick someone, and they couldn't go Ocho Cinco because he could be, you know, gone. They couldn't go Carson Palmer, he's probably gone. Maybe there was Cedric Benson, maybe there's someone else that could be in there. But regardless, it wasn't going to be a real strong entrant here. And Dunlap's the guy to face Ward, who, question even if he'll be at the Steelers after his production tailed off last season. He only had 59 catches. He's not numbers that you would think of when you look to a Madden cover. But he's known for more more than his receptions. He's a good blocker, and he's been with the team forever, and he's been through Super Bowls and all that. So he kind of represents the Steelers, I guess, more so than his numbers. But I mean, I think we both probably assume Hines Ward is moving on here pretty easily.
Yeah, I think so too. He's just a bigger name at this point, but I think he's too old to be on the cover. Probably should have been on it a little, you know, when he was back in his prime, when they were winning Super Bowls, and he was a key component in those. So, you know, it's weird to me that he's the Steeler that's representing that team, but whatever. You know, I see him getting past the first round, maybe even the second round, but not much further than that.
Yeah, he's someone who, you know, he's an antagonizer. So, you know, Ravens fans, Browns fans, Bengals fans, they hate the guy. And so as a Seahawks fan, I don't like the guy. So the question is there going to be a support to knock Ward out early? And Dunlap's not the guy who's going to generate that, unfortunately, for us. So so Hines Ward probably moves on there easily. So looking at the entire thing, though, we kind of believe that both believe that Aaron Rodgers has a pretty clear path on the one side to the finals. And maybe the only one who has the potential of knocking him out is Tim Tebow, who's got insane popularity for no particular reason. So he has the potential to beat him. I don't know that he would. I wouldn't say that he would. But I mean, I don't really. Maurice Jones-Drew maybe, but other than that, I don't really see anybody with a chance of knocking out Aaron Rodgers there. And on the other side, it's more wide open where you have, you know, I don't necessarily think Philip Rivers is going to do it, but you have an Adrian Peterson, who knows, a Mark Sanchez, a Drew Brees, Michael Vick, Andre Johnson, Chris Johnson, all guys who I wouldn't be surprised to see there in the finals. So I think that's the more interesting area to watch is that one side of the bracket. So,
yeah, definitely a lot of heavy hitters on that side.
Yeah, so what we'll do is next week after the results come out on Monday, you and I will get together for another Padre cast and talk about those results and then the second round matchup. So, Fred, thanks for joining in here for this discussion of the Madden cover tournament. And we'll be back next week with the latest Padre cast. Take care, everyone.